Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
We are, of course, have been following Joe Biden's trip to Israel and, of course, to the Middle East. His next stop is Saudi Arabia. He goes this afternoon. As he finishes his trip and his meetings in Israel, he will be traveling to Saudi Arabia. The question is, what kind of moment and what kind of trip will this be? Professor John Stremlau, an honorary international relations professor at Wits University. Thanks for joining us. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Nice to hear you.
So certainly from the visuals and from the response so far, the trip seems to be obviously not without its moments, but it does seem to be relatively successful. The question is, what happens next? Saudi Arabia, of course, enjoying quite a complicated relationship with Israel, with the United States, and this trip is set to be quite, I would imagine, fascinating on different levels. Give us some context here.
Now, wait a minute. You've been very diplomatic in your
how impressive is that?
On this trip. It's an awkward trip, and it comes at a very awkward moment. It's an awkward moment for Israel because of its changing government, and so it's only been with a caretaker prime minister that he offered that joint statement of yesterday, which I've read with great care, and that he wrote felt compelled to write an op-ed for the Washington Post just before he left to try to explain the awkwardness of this trip and the most important visit of the trip, alas, from a realpolitik standpoint, is the Saudi Arabia link, which is starts this afternoon, and tomorrow. But it really is a moment where Joe Biden is being squeezed by the domestic pressures of inflation and the need to get more oil onto the markets, and his high-sounding words of human rights and values, democratic values that he campaigned on, and that he was very, very clear about his unwillingness to see a normalcy with the crown prince Mohammed bin Salman in Saudi Arabia, and yet it looks like the crown prince is going to kind of brought back into the fold. It's also awkward for Israel because the relationship with Saudi Arabia has been obviously very strained, but the stability and security of Israel, it seems like they are willing to see that, and would like to see Saudi Arabia within the framework of the Abraham agreements and accord.
Isn't this more really about Iran? If you know, when we put all of the rest aside, isn't the issue here is about, you know, the enemy of your enemy is my friend? Isn't that really what this is about?
Well, that's part of it. Obviously, that's part of it. Biden is very critical of Trump for having broken the nuclear deal that didn't play out fully, that Obama negotiated. He did it mindlessly, and as soon as he came to office, in my view. But it was certainly playing into Israel's hands, because Israel never liked the agreement and doesn't think you can have a political solution with Iran, that it is beyond the pale. But, you know, the Palestinians feel that way about Israel. So, you know, there's a hard politics,
right,
and then
but you
there's
can't create,
the European approach.
I mean, you can't equate an equivalence where you've got an Iran building nuclear weapons and openly calling for the destruction of another state is quite different to what the Palestinians might feel about peace with Israel.
No, you're obviously right about that, and there is a difference, and I understand the difference.
Right.
At the same time, Biden has made a keystone of his presidency the promotion of democratic values. That's
right,
what's
right.
at stake in Ukraine and the
Absolutely.
Russian war, but there's also what's at stake is the global order of territorial integrity and sovereign equality. So when the Europeans argue for a political engagement and a political framework, it is dismissed by the hardliners as not recognizing, as you just alluded to, the toughness of the regime in Iran. And I'm under no illusions about their support for Hezbollah and the like. But someone like in my shoes, who for 30 years has watched 56 presidential visits to Israel and the Middle East, I've worked in policy planning when Dennis Ross was head of it, and he killed himself on the two-state solution.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I look at the communique yesterday, and it was only in the 12th paragraph of 16 paragraphs that one passing reference was made to the two-state solution, which everyone's given up on.
Right. It's further than it's been in a long time.
If Biden is going to be true to his principles of pluralist democracy, you know, he wouldn't embrace a theocracy like Israel the way he does. But he does, because there is a long history, and they reaffirm the rock solid relationship between Israel and the United States. But the $500 million of economic assistance to Palestine, and the $4 billion, which is largely going for security assistance to Israel, shows the difference.
And I'm
just trying to put this trip into context.
Right. Of course, but it also means that the difference, of course, is that Israel provides military information and support to the United States, and in fact the United States has been and continues to be very reliant on Israel as a military partner in the region as well.
I think that's a woeful exaggeration. I think the moral, the U.S. stood by the Holocaust, has never recovered the feeling of guilt for permitting that atrocity to continue. Mm-hmm. You just go to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, mm-hmm. you see the deep roots of the moral concerns and historical concerns. Yes, you can say that Israel does share intelligence. Israel plays the United States very skillfully. The U.S. is a very complicated country, and it's very difficult to maneuver. But that's also changing. And Jewish Americans have acquired, like African Americans and like Italian Americans, multiple identities. But you go to the State of Israel, and I've been there, of course, and I worked for Jimmy Carter, who promoted the Egyptian Israel peace accord, and Carter wrote his book Peace Not Apartheid, and Meret Benvenisti told me that he didn't want to see Israel become apartheid on a grand scale. Mm. We all know that the Palestinian issue is of great concern to South Africans.
Yeah,
it's been neglected.
If I can just challenge you on a number of points. Number one, I don't think Jimmy Carter, certainly in the eyes of Israel and most Jews around the world, was ever has been seen as a great friend of Israel. You used the word theocracy when it came to Israel. You've used the term that Israel plays the United States very, very skillfully. Those are very, those are the terms. You, at no point here do you acknowledge that actually the two-state solution has been on the table many, many a time, including under many different U.S. presidents. And at most of those points, it was the Palestinian Authority, for whatever reason, that actually rejected it. The language in which you describe all of this, and even suggesting that Israel's, that the American association with Israel is one only of guilt in the Holocaust, or primarily of guilt in the Holocaust, I think paints a picture that certainly I reject, and I would go further and say that this trip, in my view, this trip to Israel is an attempt by the Democratic Party, by Biden, to pull back the voters in America who they have lost because of the kind of language that you're using, and the alienating of a friend of the United States. And I don't think it served the Democratic Party at all. This trip, if anything, will pull voters back to that party, because I would imagine that not everybody has the view that you have.
No, I'm giving you a provocative set of remarks intentionally, but I assume you've visited the West Bank and Gaza, and
I certainly haven't visited. I certainly can't visit Gaza,
and,
the West Bank.
It is a very, very tough problem that I recognize.
Absolutely.
And you know, we could argue the history, but the contemporary period. There's an irony here that you rightly point out to about the politics of what Biden is doing in re-embracing Israel in terms of what Donald Trump had done in the effort to move the embassy to Jerusalem and to embrace the Israeli visit, the vision of a security relationship with, it turned out, Bahrain and UAE and Morocco, but now it's being expanded, and this is the, quote, stability of the region. The Europeans take a somewhat different view of this, but the irony of everything is that in the Washington Post article of Biden, he impugned Trump, not by name, 10 times in a very short period, but in fact, he's embraced the agreement that Jared Kushner, that I referred to with Israel, bringing a tighter security relationship with Bahrain and UAE and Morocco, but now it's extended with a Nagev summit to include Egypt and maybe even Saudi Arabia now. So the chessboard is changing in the Middle East, but at the end of the day, Biden has presented himself as a value president in terms of human rights and democracy and pluralistic democracy, the kind of democracy that is prevailing in the Constitution in South Africa. And that's inclusive. And until maybe there'll be a one-state solution for Israel and the Palestinians will be proportionately represented in the Israeli government. I don't think so.
At this stage, there are Arab parties in the government, and of course, I certainly am a believer, or maybe naively so, would love a two-state solution, but unfortunately, we seem to be further and further away from that. It is 8:34. We do need to leave it. Professor John Stramler, Honorary International Relations Professor at Wits University.